Well, good morning. Turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. It is a privilege to be able to preach in chapel today, and I hope that you will be in prayer for Brother Beal. He's scheduled to preach tomorrow in chapel, and he needs much grace. I want to preach a message to you entitled, Just Another Day in the Ministry. Just Another Day in the Ministry. I believe it's possible, and we certainly will see and be taught by our Lord this principle, that it's possible to serve Christ day after day without realizing that you're doing it without power. I'm speaking probably more so to the older men in the room and ladies, men like Brother Ogle who are pastoring, and maybe Brother Dylan who are pastoring. And those of us that have been in the ministry will probably this will sting a little more maybe than our young people. But young people, you're doing ministry now, whether you realize it or not. And it's possible, very possible, in fact, sadly too true in my life, that we can, as you'll see illustrated by this true account with the disciples, to do ministry day after day and not realize you're doing it without power because you don't have faith. I want you to see in this passage, let's read the entire passage and then we'll pray. Verse 14. By the way, my goal was to be done at 10 minutes till. My goals have changed. All right. Verse 14, Matthew 17. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, Jesus, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind, referring to this demon, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Father, help me to speak very clearly the burden, the message that you gave me many weeks ago, as you were working on my heart. And I pray all of us as sons and daughters of God would realize that our flesh is so weak. Our flesh is so prone to not believe. So it's possible to serve in the flesh and, Father, to serve without power. May we learn the lessons that you would have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to keep your finger there because we're going to go back and preach through this. But I want to read with you over the parallel account in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through 22. Turn there quickly because we'll draw everything to a close by going back to Mark at the end of the message. Mark has a parallel account of the same exact story. In Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through 22, it says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he answered his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child crieth out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What a contrast between this father and Jesus' own disciples. I want you to see, number one, the father's plea back in Matthew. We read that father's plea. We see a horrible description of what was going on to his son. Luke would tell us in Luke 9:38, Master, I beseech you, look upon my son, for he is mine only son. How pathetic. This poor man, He had tried. He had gone to the disciples. They could not help his son, his only son. I like what one author said. He said, though the father may not have realized it at the time, he was about to bring his only beloved son into the presence of God's only beloved son. We see the father's description. Then we see the father's desperation. If you read this passage and Mark's passage, phrases like kneeling down to Jesus, having him saying, have mercy on my son. Behold, a man of the company cried out, Luke says. And then Mark 9:22, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And then the father's destitution. Verses 23 and 24 of Mark, you remember, in his desperation, his total absence of any strength, he just says, Jesus, I believe. Would you help my unbelief? We see the father's plea. Secondly, the disciples' powerlessness. Back in Matthew, look at verse 16. It says, and the father speaking to Jesus, he says, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. You know, it's interesting. About a year earlier, Jesus had commissioned these same disciples to do the very thing that this man claims they couldn't do for his son. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, it says, Jesus commissioning them, and as ye go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Mark's account in chapter 6 says, and they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils. For at least a year, these disciples, probably every day, they had cast demons out and cast more demons out. Every day they raised the dead. They did the things that Jesus had commissioned them to do. But now this father says they could not cure him. Notice the father did not say that they refused to cure the boy, or that they did not try to cast the demon out of the boy. But he said, for all the attempts, and folks, we don't know how many times each disciple tried, but at some point they quit. They weren't able. You see, they were doing ministry, but they were doing it without power. We've seen the father's plea, the disciples' powerlessness. And I want you to focus with me, number three, the Savior's provocation. The Savior's provocation. How could anyone not see our Lord Jesus being provoked in verses 17 and 18? Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. I want you to notice he has two indictments that he gives to the disciples. And then in the same verse, he has two inducements. Notice the first indictment. He says, O faithless. The word means without faith, no faith. The word perverse means twisted, bent out of shape. Notice Jesus, our Lord, did not look at his disciples, and he loved them. He had trained them. He had commissioned them. Jesus did not call the disciples lazy. He didn't call them proud. He didn't call them careless or stupid or heartless. You see, my friends, Jesus was not rebuking them for not trying, but for trying without faith. Trying without power. See, their way of doing the ministry now involved really no faith. And you know what Jesus called it? Perverse. Twisted. Oh, how easy it is for us, after a while, go day after day and not realize that we're doing what we think is ministry. Jesus calls it perverse. We've learned to do ministry without power. Notice those two indictments, but in verse 18, two inducements. Notice these questions. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer or allow you? You see, my friends, this morning, these questions that Jesus asked his disciples and us is that it is God's gracious presence that we need every day as we minister for him. And it is God's precious permission that we might minister for that day that we all need. Don't you see, young people, you've not maybe arrived to this time in your life, but I can tell you us older folk have. We know that it is possible to go day after day and just another day in the ministry and not recognize, I'm so guilty of this, like the disciples. And Jesus says, don't you know how long I've been with you? Have you forgotten my presence? Do you even want my presence? How long will I allow you? Don't you know you need my permission to do ministry? A.W. Tozier, in a book I recently read called God's Power for Your Life, said this. He said, many are so caught up with the trends, technology, techniques, and trivia of our time that they cannot appreciate the reality of God's presence in our life each day. The key to that reality is seen in the promises God has given us. Now listen to this statement. Whatever fascinates us will guide us. So my prayer is that the only thing that will fascinate me is God and His marvelous glory. Jesus' command, notice at the end of verse 17, bring him hither to me, was a very pointed command. Jesus wanted them to see in their presence that unless we, brethren, do ministry each day, bringing men and women to Jesus Christ, whether leading them to Christ for salvation or bringing people back to the Word of God and back to Christ in their sanctification, in their growth, we may find ourselves doing ministry without power. Every day our ministry should be by faith in the presence and permission of our Savior. The Father's plea, the disciples' powerlessness. The Savior's provocation, number four, the disciples' perplexity. Notice the disciples' perplexity in verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. Now that word apart means separate and secret. And said, why could not we cast him out? Why could we not cast this demon out of this boy? I noticed the privacy of their inquiry. You know, I believe they were embarrassed. They heard Jesus' rebuke of them. They saw Jesus immediately cast that demon out. And so they waited until they could have some private time with Jesus. But I want you to see the pointedness of their inquiry. Notice that the disciples did not ask why the demon would not leave. But sadly, my brethren, they asked, why could not we cast him out? Again, the focus was not on Jesus. Did you see their question? The focus was, why couldn't we do it? You see, their question betrayed a problem that had developed in their ministry. They had cast demons out before many times, but their confidence or faith had grown in themselves. It had grown in their ability to do ministry, but not in Christ. My point as I began the message is it is possible to do the ministry without power. Number one, the Father's plea. Number two, the disciples' powerlessness. Number three, the Savior's provocation. Number four, the disciples' perplexity. And I want to close with number five, verses 20 and 21, the ministry's power. The ministry's power. When they came to Jesus, they said, why could not we cast this demon out? I want you to see Jesus' answer in verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. That's his answer. He said, because you tried to cast this demon out without faith in me. You know, some commentators, and I was talking to Brother Camp about this, I went back and forth, and it just kind of leaped at me. And Pastor Camp, Brother Camp, as we were looking, we realized that our King James Bible translates the correct word that is missing in the critical text. Did you know Jesus did not say, as other new versions and commentators say, he said, because of your little faith. That is not the Greek word. In the critical text, it is little faith. But in our TR, it is no faith. Let me tell you, that makes a big difference, especially in the rest of the verse. I was reading commentator after commentator. Every commentary I had used the critical text. And they tried to make the mustard seed illustration of Jesus say something completely different than what I believe Jesus was saying. You see, how could any human being, how could any born-again Christian ever say, oh, I have big faith? No one in their right mind that loves Christ would ever brag like that. Certainly the Father didn't say that to Jesus when he bowed his knee. Jesus said, well, if you believe, he says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Unbelief is exactly what the Word of God, that's exactly what Jesus meant. His answer was, because you are trying to do ministry with no faith. Number two, notice Jesus' axiom. In the rest of verse 20, he says, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And you know the mustard seed was the smallest seed in the nation of Israel. You ever look at a mustard seed? I like mustard. I like it too much, my wife says. I like all mustards. And I like that coarse mustard where they have real mustard seeds in them, and they're very tiny. You know what Jesus was saying? Having even a small amount of faith in Christ and His promises is a world different from no faith or faith in yourself or your ability to do ministry. Let me repeat that. Jesus' axiom was this: having even a little faith in Him and His promises is a world different than having any faith in me or the way I do ministry. The disciples did their ministry now with no faith. Not little faith, no faith. You see, my friends, God can and does amazing things with faith in Him. I heard a few testimonies today. You know, sometimes, brethren, maybe we can get tired about hearing about the little things, the little faith from you students. But I sit there day after day and I go, wow, whoa, man, praise God, $1,000. Have we gotten too tired of hearing the testimony? Oh, my. Oh, my. And by the way, should God ever let this school get accredited, we won't hear those testimonies anymore. God can and does amazing things with even little faith in Him. The Bible says without faith, let me start it again, but without faith, no faith, unbelief, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We see the ministry's power. Number one, Jesus' answer, Jesus' axiom, and then verse 21, His announcement. He says, howbeit, this particular kind of demon goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Jesus said, now fellows, I want you to know, this particular demon just needed faith. You see, when He said prayer and fasting, brethren, we should all know this. Jesus was saying that, by the way, prayer and fasting indicate real faith. Did you know that? Prayer and fasting are things we do when we are in faith. You don't pray or you don't pray correctly if you don't believe. And you certainly don't fast if you don't believe in Christ and what He can do. You know, the very act of prayer and fasting, which in my study of the Bible is intense prayer, is not faith in you or faith in your ability to pray or faith even in the ability for you to fast. They are all symptoms of a faith, even if it's small, in a God who you believe can do anything He's promised He'll do. Prayer and fasting address the helplessness of the saint to minister and the believer's faith in God's omnipotence to accomplish His ministry. You see, my friends, this kind of demon needed mountain-moving faith in God, which would be indicated by prayer and fasting. You know, God has a way, doesn't He? Older brethren that are in the ministry for a while, God has a way of shaking us up. We were cruising. Just another day in the ministry. And isn't it like our loving Father to do the same thing that Jesus allowed to? You know, the Lord, He was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, but He made sure while He was busy with Peter, James, and John that He would send a demon that even His disciples couldn't handle. Because He wanted, when He came down, He wanted His disciples and we, His disciples, to understand that if we should ever get bored, if we should ever cruise, if we should be on cruise control, just another day in the ministry, God has a way of sending us that type of thing in our ministry. The problem isn't that we know that's not going to happen, it will, but why is it we can do just another day in ministry? You see, my friends, it is possible to work the ministry without biblical faith and power. But God has His way of reminding us of our unbelief to cause us to bring our ministries to Him. Like this poor father who brought his pathetic son. My friends, then may our cry be, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. Father, thank You for Your word, and thank You for helping me to understand that I should not go any day without recognizing Your presence and having Your permission to minister. May I do it in faith, and may my brethren do it the same. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,